It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. One of two current exhibits on display at the Toonzeum in Pittsburgh is This Campaign is Huge, Cartoonists Tackle the 2016 Presidential Race. Here to talk about it is Rob Rogers. He's the president of the board of the Toonzeum and is an award-winning cartoonist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He is in Cleveland covering the Republican presidential convention and joins us now on Essential Pittsburgh. Rob Rogers, welcome back. It's good to have you.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be here.
This campaign is huge. This is obviously a play on Donald Trump's oft-repeated phrase that he has used throughout this campaign. And Donald Trump really has overshadowed a lot of what's happened in politics, a lot of what has become the fodder for your cartoons.
He has. And when I started planning this exhibit, you know, the idea was to cover the whole campaign, to cover, you know, the primary with when it was 16 candidates and Hillary and Bernie and you know, and it became, as people started sending me work, everything was sort of narrowing and narrowing. And so even though I warned the cartoonist that I was asking for work, I was saying, don't send me all Trump. But I did get a lot of Trump. So, and that's fine because it's good stuff. So there's a lot of Trump in there, but there is some Hillary. There's some Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush.
What do you do, though, as a cartoonist? We'll get back to the exhibit, but for your day-to-day work for the Post-Gazette, I mean, there's a lot of local topics and there are a lot of different things that you work in, but you're stuck with these two people
right
for the next 4 months.
Right.
And you've already been covering them for at least a year now.
Yeah.
So at what point does it get old, or and at what point do you are you in danger of running out of ideas?
Well, fortunately, the way a campaign works is that the candidates are subject to going out every day and making several stops and standing in front of the media and saying things that they wouldn't normally say if they were just working their jobs as politicians or whatever. So what's great about it is every day there's an opportunity for some sort of faux pas or some sort of crazy thing. And then when you add Donald Trump to the mix, every minute there's an opportunity for something crazy to be said or tweeted. And so it really doesn't get old and it doesn't get boring. And I don't run out of ideas because the candidates are constantly supplying material for me. I don't even have to write it myself sometimes. So, yeah, there are only so many ways you can say we can't build a wall, we can't ban Mexicans. But fortunately, there's plenty of other material there that keeps coming up. So it doesn't get old. And then I do have to look at other topics, even between now and November.
Now, as far as the work that is on display as part of this exhibit, what sorts of various takes on Donald Trump have you seen come in? And is there anything that you've seen that's on display, perhaps, that you're thinking, why didn't I think of that?
Well, that happens all the time. I mean, I have colleagues in the business who do great work. So I'm often seeing a cartoon and thinking, you know, I wish I thought of that. And I would hope that people think the same thing when they see one of mine. But in terms of putting together the exhibit, it really was interesting because we have a few conservative cartoonists in sort of our world of political cartoonists. There aren't as many as there are liberal, but there are a few. And even those guys were sending me negative Trump stuff because nobody really thinks he's a liberal or a conservative. So they, you know, even, you know, some of the conservatives were hitting him just as hard as they were hitting Hillary, which was interesting. And actually, the same thing goes for some of the liberal cartoonists as well. They were hitting Hillary as hard as they were hitting Trump.
What else will we see? We'll see a lot of Hillary stuff. Are we going to see stuff that includes the candidates who've already dropped out but who left an indelible imprint on the race?
Yes, there are many cartoons about Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush. And what's interesting about this exhibit, which I think would give people a reason to come down and check it out, is that we have a lot of process. And what I mean by that is that you can see the rough sketches, you can see how the idea was formed, and then you get to see the final ink, and then you get to see the final color. So we have originals, we have sketches, we have finished color prints on the walls, and it's a really nice looking exhibit. So aside from sort of seeing how people come up with their ideas, you also just get to see a lot of great cartoons about the campaign. But yeah, there's plenty of Hillary, there's some Jeb Bush, there's some Ted Cruz. Actually, all the candidates are represented in at least one or two cartoons in there. But most people sense stuff about the two candidates that are left.
As people have visited the Toonzeum over the years, our good friend Joe Woese has overseen it or did for many, many years. And there was much more, I want to say, maybe some more innocent fare. You know, when you get sure. when you get into political cartoons, you're really talking about the very sharp-edged aspect of cartooning that can be very offensive to people. So do you find yourself creating any kind of disclaimers or warning people, hey, brace yourselves because, you know, if you're a conservative, you're likely to be offended. If you're a liberal, you're likely to be offended, that kind of thing.
Well, we don't do that necessarily. But for instance, last year we had a Charlie Hebdo exhibit where there were cartoons in response to the massacre. And there were a few cartoons in there that were not offensive necessarily, but did touch on some subject matter that some people might see as offensive. And there were a couple of cartoons that included depictions of Muhammad. So we sort of put a disclaimer on the exhibit as you walked in and just said, you know, there are some things that people might find offensive. I think that kind of goes with the territory. As far as the current exhibit, I don't think it's anything kids can't see at all. I mean, I think it's actually very educational for kids. And there's really not anything that I think would be problematic for families. So it's definitely worth checking out.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Rob Rogers, award-winning cartoonist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who is president of the board of the Toonzeum, which is currently displaying This Campaign is Huge. Cartoonists tackled the 2016 presidential race, one of two exhibits on display at the Toonzeum, and it runs until August 28th, so you have plenty of time to get there. And for you, Rob, I know you're a student of the history of political cartoons. It goes way, way back. There were cartoons and newspapers that carried them going back at least to Lincoln's presidency, if not before that.
Oh, far before that. In fact, Paul Revere was a cartoonist.
A lot of people probably don't know that Paul Revere was a cartoonist. I did not know that either. What would he have done?
So, yeah, American political cartooning goes all the way back to before this country was a country. And, in fact, in 1770, there was a massacre in Boston. British soldiers gunned down citizens. And so Paul Revere did an engraving, and it was called The Bloody Massacre in King Street. And some say it was, you know, the most effective piece of sort of political cartoon propaganda ever, because some credit that for getting people interested in a revolution. So that's one of the early American political cartoons right there.
And it speaks to the power of political cartoons, that that they can be not only something that it gives you a laugh, it's also thought-provoking and perhaps inspiring, as it was clearly during the Revolutionary War days.
Absolutely. And you could see that throughout the history of American political cartooning. And then Ben Franklin, of course, was a political cartoonist. He drew the famous Join or Die cartoon about the colonies. And so it's had a long history in this country, and probably made most famous by Thomas Nast, who drew cartoons about Boss Tweed and Tammany Hall and sort of got him locked up based on those cartoons. So, yeah, there's been a big history of American political cartooning. And, of course, if you go back even earlier, you know, Daumier and artists like that in France and other places were doing it long before we were even a country.
Is there a signature American style to political cartoons, or is it something that you see in a similar way in a lot of different countries?
You know, I do think there is a very American style of political cartooning, and it has to do with some of the artists who were here at the middle of the last century. And I think that what happened was more humor started to be infused into cartooning, because for a long time it was all very heavy and very serious, a lot of black ink and lots of labels, lots of metaphors of, you know, Greek myths and things like that. So I think that now we've infused more humor into it. That's a very American style. But the Europeans still do a lot of cartoons that have very few words and are more sort of picturesque and symbolic without as much dialogue. We have a lot of dialogue in our cartoons.
Now, of course, we have the spectacle of the conventions here in this country that there's really nothing like it in Europe or on other continents. So talk about some of the things you're looking at in Cleveland this week.
Well, you know, I have covered every convention from 1988. Actually, it was my first convention to go to. So I've done a lot of sketches, and there are a lot of things that are similar. You have a lot, you know, high security. You have to go through many metal detectors, and that's gotten. I've seen that get much worse over the years.
I'm sure this year's incredible. It's
unbelievable. And the protests are the other thing that is kind of remarkable, how they've grown. Now, it's certainly, you know, people have sort of said, well, is this another 1968? I don't know about that, but there are some people out there and they want their voices to be heard. So I think that's interesting. As far as what goes on inside the hall and in the convention itself, it's all very prepackaged and, you know, you're sort of watching for somebody to slip up or do something weird like Clint Eastwood, you know, with the chair, because that's where the humor comes.
You were there for that?
I was there for that, yeah. And I was like, what?
You weren't the only one, Rob.
I know. So there's a lot to look at and, you know, talking to the delegates, finding out who they're supporting and why. And there's a lot of, you know, I sometimes will go off and cover things like who's got the most outrageous, funny hat. And things like that. But yeah, there's plenty of stuff to be entertained by, for sure.
And this is what many people feel is, you know, conventions, as you say, are scripted now, mm-hmm. down to, you know, the minute. But by all accounts, and it's still unfolding, the Republican convention is going to be like no other, just in terms of the fact that not a lot of people want to speak on Donald Trump's behalf. Some do and some don't. And so he has an unusual array of speakers, which I think could provide you with the moment that you're looking for.
Yes, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of non-politicians that are speaking that will give me lots of material. It'll be interesting to see who of the big speakers don't end up coming, or the big Republicans. I mean, there's a lot that have said they're not coming already. So it'll be interesting to see if anybody else doesn't show up. But yeah, it's always interesting, and there's a lot to cover, so I'm having a good time.
And you're going to Philadelphia as well?
I will be, yes. I will be traveling to Philly, like pretty much stopping in Pittsburgh on the way to Philly and, you know, changing my laundry and heading over to Philly.
Rob Rogers is a political cartoonist, award-winning political cartoonist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, covering the presidential conventions, the Republican National Convention and the Democratic Convention next week. And he is also the president of the board of the Toonzeum in Pittsburgh, which is displaying currently This Campaign Is Huge. Cartoonists tackle the 2016 presidential race. It continues until August 28th at the Toonzeum. So be sure and check it out. Rob Rogers, as always, a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we'll visit with Elaine LaBalm, our travel correspondent. If you are traveling to Cleveland or to Philadelphia for the Democratic National Convention, Elaine has all sorts of ideas about how to spend your time away from the arena.
My sense is that your best bets are going to be looking up on social media outlets to see what activities are happening around town that the public can go to.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.